Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now, for some time we have been speaking about how to work for God. I have begun to conclude the things I have been saying. Because I'm concluding, please pardon me and let me repeat some things I have said many times because they are very important. Number one, the work of God is inside, it's not outside, first of all. Any work that is done outwardly, that's not a reflection of the work that has gone on inside, is not work for God. He doesn't recognize it. That's why the word of God is being taught like this, so that you can have your hearts transformed by the entrance of his word, so you can do work outwardly that will be pleasing to God. Very important. We said the work of God is inward first, before it is outward. So God wants his word. In fact, that's the first place we say we must labor. We must labor to listen. He said, watch your steps when you enter the temple of God. He said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. That is, if you enter the service of God and you don't pay attention to hear first, whatever it is that you are doing will be what the Bible calls the sacrifice of a fool. So the first work is to learn. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Very important point we made at the beginning. And number two point we made is that the work of God is not only in church. The work of God is not only in what appears like the ministry, you know what we call ministry, of the word of God. The work of God is everywhere. Your behavior as a student is the work of God. Your behavior as a teacher is the work of God. Your behavior as a politician, all of these things are part of what constitutes the work of God. And in fact, the main work that we do for God on the earth is in those arenas, in those areas. Only few of us are actively involved, really, as God designed it, in what we call the work of ministry. Now, we have established that. Now, last time I began to speak about, of course, we talked about different things, how to use your gifts to serve God, and we took a long time to explain, really, how to give as a way of serving God. And we emphasized that we don't do those things because of what we are going to get, but because it's part of our nature to be cheerful givers as children of God. And last time I began to talk about one kind of work that's very hardly emphasized anywhere. And that's what I call the work of rest. We read from the book of Genesis chapter 1 that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created the things upon them in 6 days, and in the seventh day he rested and established a principle for us. And we said under the new covenant, Sabbath is not just a day. Sabbath is a life attitude. Though it is good for you to observe a day of rest in your life. It is good for you to observe a season of rest every time in your life. And I began to explain that last time. The last thing I read, which I want to read again, so as to continue from where we stopped, all right, is from the book of Daniel. Remember, I said that God has organized life like this. There are things you do, there are things he does. Are you getting my point? That is, only he can do them. And a sign that you recognize that is that you observe the principle of Sabbath. The principle of Sabbath is not just a day. I said it's an attitude in life. In fact, for you, just to emphasize it again, Sabbath includes not fighting for everything you believe is your right. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. Sabbath is not just a day of rest. The attitude that this just doesn't fight for everything. Every time they are sharing food, you are there fighting. They are sharing money, you are there fighting. They are sharing land, you are there fighting. You understand? That's a lack of the understanding of the principle of Sabbath. There are times you look and you just say, it is in God's hands. Are you getting my point? There are times you just look. Maybe every time you want, you're watching your child. Hey, you're crossing the road. There are times you just leave the boy. Oh boy, you have grown. You can go out by yourself. Some of us, because we are rich and we have money, our children can never enter public transport because we are afraid somebody may kidnap him. The boy has to grow up. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It's part of the principle of Sabbath. For you to know that I can't be there every time for this child. So at the point in time, I should allow him to go to the road, stop a bus, enter, go to the market, and come back. For goodness sake, he's growing. He's becoming a teenager. You understand? The one you want to protect him all the time is a sign that you don't understand that there is a principle of Sabbath that you must observe, which says to God, I am not the one doing everything. You are the one doing some things. Are you getting my point? He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to go to bed late, thereby eating the bread of sorrows. He said, for he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. He protects the children of his beloved even while they are not there. Are you getting my point? He divides land and keeps for them even when they were not there during the family meeting. You understand what I'm going to explain? That, look, God just defends you even when you are not there. The recognition of that is the principle of Sabbath. So sometimes, you know, in fact, let me give you a very good example. They told the Lord Jesus Christ once that your friend Lazarus is sick and he may die. And the Bible says he abode in the place a few more days. That's the principle of Sabbath. I don't have to jump and go everywhere. I should understand that God is in control. 2 days later, he moved, making it 4 days by the time he got to where Lazarus was. And he raised Lazarus up from the dead. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That was the glory of God manifested. If the only thing you get in life are those things you fight for, God's name is not glorified. And that was what Nebuchadnezzar did not understand. And that's how we read that story. Let's read it again. The book of Daniel chapter 4. You know the story? Nebuchadnezzar dreamt a dream. And in that dream, what did he see? He saw a tree that was large and grew strong. And the tree was so high, visible to all the earth. Beautiful, the fruit was abundant. And many beasts were under it, and birds were lodging in the branches. And what was the interpretation? That is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said to him, because of your glory, because of your might, because of your strength. But at the time, when he began to brag on this, a voice came from heaven and he said, chop down the tree and destroy it and then leave a stump. And Daniel said, this is the interpretation. You will be driven from mankind and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field and you'll be given grass to eat. You understand? Like cattle and all of that. Now, Daniel advised him on what to do so that this wouldn't happen to him, but he didn't understand. One day, he fell for it. The Bible says in verse 30 of Daniel chapter 4, the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself, notice it, I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty. I myself built it by the might of my power for the glory of my majesty. I am the all in all. I wake up early. I go to bed late. And then as a result, I built Babylon. You understand what I'm going to explain? The Bible says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven and condemned him. A voice came from heaven and drove him out and fulfilled that dream that Daniel interpreted for him. Now, I said to us last time, what was the glory of God in it? The glory of God in it was not that it was able to make Nebuchadnezzar mad. The glory of God was shown in that after 7 seasons, this was what happened. Verse 36, at that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and my splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my counselors and nobles began seeking me out. It wasn't me that did it now. People were doing things for me. And I was established in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, understand matters. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, understand that it's not me that did it. It was God that did it. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways just. Now, listen to the point I'm going to make here. What made God great in his eyes was that even though there was a lot of infighting those days, even though men, to retain their throne, they had to kill their enemies periodically. Even though men had to fight to establish their kingdoms, a man that was not in power, he was out for 7 periods of time, maybe 7 years. People could have taken things from him, they did not. When he returned, he was reestablished and the kingdom grew in his absence. He said, I wasn't the one that did it, it was God that did it. So God said, it is vain to rise up early. It is vain to go to bed late. Eating the bread of sorrows. There is bread in laboring in a hard way. You will get some things. He said, but it is vain. Because I give to my beloved even while they sleep. Please, notice it. I give to my beloved even while they sleep. That's Psalm 127. He gives to his beloved even in their sleep. What does that mean? You must take time out to sleep. Some people, they say, we are evangelists. We must evangelize the world. They will not sleep. And then they preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the following week, they start again. And they go around it. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It is not the will of God, even though you think your intention is right. Because what you are saying without realizing it, is this not the kingdom of God, the great, which I will build by the strength of my preaching? So I can go to God and say, we worked for you. Paul said, I planted. Apollos watered. It was God that was giving the increase. It is the work of God to take time out to rest. So as to say to God, we recognize you are the one giving the increase. I was reading the story of what Rick Joyner, I think it was Rick Joyner that said it about himself. He said, once a year, the church will close for one whole month. I think in July or August. They close the doors, say nobody should come here. Go to other churches. Go around. Very few pastors will ever dare that. Because they believe that if your members go somewhere else, they will go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? I know of ministries, they teach their members, maybe they are on campus, that when you go home, don't go to any church. So you see students will go home for 3 months, campus students, long vacation, 2 months. And in that period, they will not go to any church. Why? You know, so that we don't end up going somewhere else. Let me quickly say to those who don't understand. There was a time John the Baptist baptized his cousin, Jesus. By that time, he had been in the wilderness for a long time, preaching. And multitudes were going to him. At that time, his cousin, Jesus Christ, he didn't know the Christ part of it then. His cousin, Jesus, was doing carpentry with his father. And then one day, Jesus came for baptism. And as soon as he left John the Baptist, he began his own ministry. But he wasn't preaching publicly. You understand? He was just talking to people privately. And he was gathering disciples. At a point, he had more disciples than John the Baptist. So they now went to John the Baptist and said, that ministry is trending now. They said, listen, that guy that you baptized now has more followers than us. Listen to what John the Baptist said. Let's quickly read it. The book of John chapter 3. John said in verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from above. Let me just stop it there. Instead of him fighting, say, how come he started the ministry? All these young boys these days, they are not loyal. You know, that is what we'll have said. A lot of pastors, that's what they'll say. I know when he was trained here. After all, we didn't even let him carry pastor's briefcase until he has been here for the first 6 years. Now he has left. He's now got, what is all of it? Jealousy. You are wondering how come this boy can start a church and in a few months or years, look at the number of members. They are twice the number of the church he came from in which he served for 6 years. When they tried that with John the Baptist, you know all he said? A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. It is not the man's labors that brings the reward. Are you getting my point? It's not the man's labors that brings all the results. That's why the man must say to God, I recognize that. And it takes time periodically to rest. And it is the work of God. Why am I preaching like this? You know, when I was talking about giving as working for God, I explained that one of the reasons why I have to explain that giving to the poor is necessary, giving to your parents, giving to your people who stood in that position, helping those who are needy in your household. A lot of us knew that those things were correct. We just did not know it was work for God. We did not realize that in doing them, we will be working for God. So oftentimes, we will neglect to do them so as to supposedly go and work for God. In the same manner, many people think taking a leave from their businesses, taking a leave from their ministries, they think is neglecting the work of God. I have come to preach to you again today to explain that no, it is not so. The very act of being at peace, the very process of resting is part of the work that somebody must do for God. Are you getting my point? If you don't do it, what you are saying is that without my might, Babylon will not be built. When God wanted to show that to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, let me show you so that you don't say things like that anymore. He took him out for 7 seasons. And Babylon grew in that period, and nobody overthrew the man, even though they knew his mental state. By the time he returned, they reestablished him upon a throne that was bigger than when he left. God said to him, in effect, you see, and so, who built Babylon? But Nebuchadnezzar said, now I understand. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Kings for all his works. That's what I'm saying. No? Are you getting my point? That is the one that brought the increase. I may have done my own part. And that's what I'm teaching. In everything we do, there's our own part. Listen, this is my own principle for now. I'm a preacher. There are 12 months to preach in a year. I preach only 11 months. The 12th month, I'm not preaching. No, really. You know, that same thing happened to Jethro, to Moses at the time. Moses was the all in Israel. Then one day, Jethro, his father-in-law, came to visit him. And he discovered what Moses was up to. Moses was the all in all. He did not understand that life could go on without him. So what did he do? He would sit down morning till night, attending to the affairs of state, like we say. Then one day, his father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit him. And Jethro noticed something that Moses was up to. That is, noticed this thing that Moses was up to. And therefore, he called him and said, oh boy, this thing that you are doing is not good. That's in the book of Exodus chapter 18. The Bible says in verse 13, and it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now, when Jethro saw this, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, all right, as judge, and all the people stand from morning till evening? Then he said to him, now began to give him advice. Verse 17, and Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. I like that expression. He said, the thing that you are doing is not good. I'm saying to you again, child of God, working morning till night, Saturday to Sunday, and starting again on Sunday is not good. I've seen a lot of business books or motivational books. They tell people about diligence. And they give examples of bad things. I've heard it said before, that hard work does not kill. It's a lie. It does. It does. If hard work is too much, it kills. A man must rest. God gave the commandment to the people of Israel. Please don't forget what I'm going to explain. I'm trying to explain to you that the period that you actively take time out from working is the work of God that you're doing. God gave the commandment to the people of Israel. One day of the week, even your animals must not walk. What does it mean? Even your car must rest. Are you getting my point? Even the machines in your business, they must go to sleep. One day out of seven in a week. Now listen to this. Israel did not observe this. For a long time, they were breaking the Sabbath. After a while, God packed all of them and sent them out. The Bible says, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. I say to people all the time, if you walk the way you are walking, after a while, and you die suddenly, you know, life will still go on. A friend of mine once, every time I ask after him, they say he's very busy. I said, take a message to him that once he's dead, the very next day, his company will replace him. They won't wait for a week. Please, we are talking about how to work for God, and my emphasis this time around is that it is the work of God to take a very good night's sleep. I advise people these days that you have GSM phones. Any business, listen to this, anytime I get here, I get excited. Any business that they will not call you when you are awake is not your own. The Bible says in Psalm 133, it said, from there, God commanded the blessings. I say all the time, blessings are commanded. My blessing has my name on it and it can't go anywhere else. Some people say opportunity comes but once. Opportunity lost can never be regained. I said that is not the gospel of a man that is blessed. The man that is blessed, the opportunity that comes that is his own, has his name on it. And if it does not meet him, it will come back. Let me say that again. If any opportunity misses you, it does not come back, it was never your own. This is the way I like to illustrate it. Let us assume I travel. Maybe I decide to go abroad or somewhere. And my wife said, okay, I'll meet you after 2 days. And I said, listen, you know, when you get to that place, I'm staying in, let's just name one hotel we all know. Well, let me say, I'm staying in one Hilton hotel. Are you getting my point? And then let's assume she gets there. They say, who are you looking for? I'm looking for my house. Okay, this is the room where she's in. And then, mistakenly, instead of saying room, maybe 401, They go and tell her, 410. And she gets to the door, 410, and knocks. And one tall white man opens the door. Will she say that, since I got to this door, and instead of being a black man, Nigerian man that's my husband, I'm seeing a tall white man, will she not marry him? The answer is no. Why? She bears my name. Are you getting my point? What will she do? She will say, oh, I'm sorry. And she will go back and say, please, my husband is a Nigerian, for goodness sake. And say, oh, sorry, madam. We meant room 401. Then she will go there and go and locate me. If it takes knocking on 10 different doors, she will knock on 10 different doors until I'm found. Why? Because she bears my name. That's how blessings are. He said, from there, God commanded the blessing. What am I saying? If you are going to sleep at night, put off your phone. You're not the first businessman to be invented. He said, what if they call me up at night? If it is your business, they will call you up when you wake up. There are businessmen that no calls, nothing until they are finished praying. I don't even say praying now. Till 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't call me. And you go and check, they are the ones that become multi-millionaires and become billionaires, and their lives are still intact. Because if you labor, you can get things. So the Bible calls what you will get, all right? The Bible calls it the bread of sorrows. The example I like to give, the day I watched it, I said, no wonder. Ted Turner started CNN. He was a billionaire at the time, worth $10 billion. They said the man, of course, he made a lot of money. But he had been married 3 times as the last time I knew. Not because the wives were bad, because the man was not the husband. They said he used to work 18 hours a day. He became very rich, but he couldn't sustain a home. In the days of Paul Getty, he was the richest man. At the end of the day, his son said, money was a curse to our family. That's what it's called, what? The bread of sorrows. When a man wakes up first thing in the morning, even if it's a church he thinks he's building, and he builds it till late at night, the Bible says he's eating the bread of sorrows. Because when God blesses a man, even while he's sleeping, things are still moving. Even when he's not present, God is still adding to him. The first time I learned this thing, I was a university student. And then something happened one day, it was very interesting. I went to sleep, and a friend of mine was graduating. Because I studied a 6-year course, and he studied a 5-year course. We're classmates, but he was learning a year before me. So that day, he came to my room to come and say, oh boy, bye-bye, they go. And he found I was sleeping. Knew I was very busy. I was a senior medical student then. He decided not to wake me up. So he left a note. It was very interesting, because I was preaching this message those days in school. And I left a note for me that, oh boy, I have gone. So this money that I was remaining as I was leaving school, he put part of it under the note, covered it, and left. So when I woke up, I just saw on my table a note from one of my friends. I picked the note up. I saw money under it. I read it. Now, that was those days. $20. Father in heaven. You can't understand what $20 was. The guy put 29. Yee, kabalagosh. Hey. I woke up and I saw the money there. Then it struck me that the Bible says he blesses even his beloved even while they sleep. That lesson has never left me. The Bible says he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. That day I woke up, I saw the money there. I said, indeed, this gospel is true. Are you getting my point? What am I preaching this time around? For us to understand that period of resting is still the work of God. God gives you a big company to run. It's yours. You built it from the scratch. Don't worry, like Nebuchadnezzar. You can take a holiday for 6 weeks. It won't die in your absence. If you don't take that holiday, it will die faster. Or you will die and leave it. You built a ministry. You are afraid of the young pastors under you so that they won't steal your flock. Remember, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. If a young man leaves your church, and some of the members go with him, they are his members. They are not your own. Yes, sir. Don't be angry. There's no point. He said, they were mine before. Maybe you have not been faithful. Don't fight the young man. Go back and do your job properly. But a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Some pastors, they have a very big church. No, truly. I mean, I'm saying this because A lot of ministers are listening to me also. You have a big church, there are some young men in your church, they are hot. They know the word of God, you know it. You are afraid to give them the pulpit. Why? They may just draw some of the members away so that when they start their own church, the membership will reduce. This is the word of God to you today. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. I hope you understand what I'm going to explain. What is my emphasis? That principle of leaving things alone for a while is called the law of Sabbath. Sabbath is not just a day, it's an attitude. I said to you earlier, there are times people want to cheat you and you don't just want to fight them. Say, have it, you can have it. The fellow thinks he's being smart. No, you are saying to him, he doesn't realize it, that it is vain to fight for everything because God fights for my money even when I'm not looking. And listen, just by the way, if a man who prays and believes in God tells you, leave the money, don't leave it, to go and package it and give it to him. Because if God wants to collect it back from you, God knows they collect it normally. I'm just telling you. Listen, this is the principle of God. If you sow rice, if you sow one grain of corn, what comes? Plenty. If you thief in servant money, you understand my point? And he wants to collect it back. If you stole 10,000 naira from his servant, he won't collect 10,000. He will collect a harvest. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? What am I trying to explain? A man who understands that, a woman who gets that point, does not fight over everything. It's the principle of Sabbath. It's one of the ways you demonstrate to God, yes, I believe indeed that you are the one in charge. I remember one brother, a friend of mine, he was in a building. I know the way it's happened a number of times in our country. Armed robbers attacked that neighborhood. And they were breaking one door after another. And he was living on top floor. When he began to hear the thing approaching him, he sat down there and prayed. After he had finished praying, he went to the door, said, let them not spoil my door. He opened it and said, God, you are going to protect that door. He didn't even lock it. He went there, he opened it and sat down and continued praying. He continued praying until everything died down, quietness, everybody disappeared. Nobody approached his door. Listen, there are steps we take in life. I tell people sometimes, if somebody is offering you a job, in which you work morning till night, Sunday till Saturday, don't take it. You don't need it. You don't. If anything in life will not give you time to study the word of God, if anything will not give you time to reflect and think, if something will not give you time, you understand my point, to rest, it's not from God. It's not his blessing. If you are building your own business, listen, from the beginning, put it in there. Part of my work for God is this season in which I don't come to work. On certain days, I'm sorry I don't open. By certain periods of time, I have put off my phone, I have gone to sleep. Like I said, what if there's an emergency during the night? I said, listen, my friend, before GSM, there were emergencies. Are you the police or are you fire brigade? If you are not the police and you are not the fire brigade, it's very common with pastors. They leave the phone. Church members will be calling you day and night. You will soon die. They will get another pastor. You won't let human beings use you and finish you. They used to come to Jesus now. After he had multiplied bread, they came and said, look, Baba, you will be the king. Forget all of these ones. You are the king. He looked at them and said, Peter, uncle, let's go. They are looking for who they will kill. I will first preach to them, heal their sick, multiply bread, then be judging who stole whose money. A man came to him once. I said, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me. He said, who made me a judge and an arbiter over you? That's a work of rest. That is one is not my business. Just by the way, if you're a businessman, one of the ways, if anything you are doing in life, ministry also, one of the ways you keep yourself sane is to know which one is your own and which one is not your own. That is, it's not every business that concerns you. It's not every business. In the same way, as a minister, it is not every invitation you accept you want to be popular. You are the pastor of a church. It's every program they are doing elsewhere you have to copy. This one is drawing crowd. You understand my point? Some people say, this is what draws crowd now. This kind of suit, you go and buy it. This is what draws crowd now to be on television. In case you did not know, Winners Chapel in Lagos grew from 2,000 people to 20-something thousand people in 1 year Bishop had the law that time, no television, no radio. Listen, by the time Winner's Chapel was known worldwide, Bishop had not been on TV. It was against his religion. I was there. Not story. They told somebody. He would say, God did not send me the television. Radio, you didn't see the man there. So listen, radio can grow those who are growing churches. Amen. But don't be deceived. It's not radio. Television can grow churches. Amen. But don't be deceived. It's not television. There are ministries that the day they went on TV was when their programs began. So then before they were managing, you know, money was not a problem. Now they have to pay. Money was not a problem before, but now they are on TV, they are on radio. They now have to pay. Suddenly the pastor starts saying, praise the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. Who will give cheerfully today? It is radio bill. After he preached that for 6 months, the church members get tired. They leave. What's the point I'm making? As a minister, it's not everything you copy. Some people are doing online VG to draw crowd. It's not necessary. Are you getting my point? You're copying it because somebody else is doing it. Some people have started deliverance that they don't believe in because they found that people love deliverance. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Very, very important. Very, very important. As a businessman, listen, any business you're not planning to learn, if they bring it to you, say it makes quick money, it's a lie. It kills people fast. There is no quick money. What did I say? There's no quick money. Every man who tries to get rich quick gets into trouble. The Bible says that he will pierce himself. He will find himself in many hurtful loss and pierce himself through with many sorrows. Let me end my message. Because what I just wanted to emphasize is the fact that the principle of Sabbath, the principle of rest, is not just a one-day thing. That is, okay, I rest on Saturdays or on Sundays. It's not just that. That's part of it. It's a lifestyle. Knowing that this business is not my business, but it makes a million naira every 6 days. It's just not my business. This is not my kind of ministry.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.